First Peter and chapter 5. And we read verses 1 to 4 there. Peter begins, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers." Be shepherds of God's flock. Now, this message is concerned with eldership. It's relevant especially to those who are in eldership or may indeed in future be in eldership, but it's relevant to us all in this, in the way that leadership is relevant to all those who are led, and shepherding is relevant to all those who are under the care of the shepherds. So let's start with shepherds. It's a difficult job, I think, being a shepherd. It takes a lot of commitment. My observations of those who are shepherds in this area has shown me, I think, that at times the job can be very tiring, at lambing time, tying and tiring. It involves sometimes early rising, often early rising, sometimes sleepless nights, sometimes stravaging across moors, trying to find wandering animals. It involves a lot of mud and worse. Well, all of these things are true as well for a Middle Eastern shepherd. In New Testament times, conditions were maybe different in some ways, but a lot was the same. However, the Middle Eastern shepherd would actually live with his sheep outdoors, under the stars. You couldn't really do that in this country in the winter, of course, but he would live with the sheep outdoors. He would travel with the sheep to find pasture and water, sometimes a good distance from home. And the Middle Eastern shepherd was not well paid and had very low social status. It was a very low status job. Shepherds were sometimes accused of dishonesty, and also because of their job they found it hard to keep purity according to the religious laws, and they found it hard to attend the temple or the synagogue, and so they were often seen as irreligious as well as slightly dodgy characters. Low status, difficult job, a job that required real commitment to the sheep. So when we read in the Bible, as we often do, that God calls himself a shepherd, it's an amazing statement. We sang it a moment ago in Psalm 23. Psalm 80, God is called Israel's shepherd. And in the New Testament, as we read, Jesus is the good shepherd. And here in verse 4, he is the chief shepherd. Now, surely that says something about our relationship with God. It tells us that we are sheep. And it tells us about himself, that he is tied to us, that he is committed to us, that he is prepared to make great sacrifices for us, as shepherds do for their flocks. And of course, Jesus did for his flock. And that he is prepared, God is prepared, even to be despised for the sake of his sheep. As shepherds often were in the Middle East, they were despised. So when the elders in this passage are called shepherds, as they are in verse 2, and in other passages as well, Acts 20, verse 28 is an amazing verse about this, we realize that the job of eldership is not a job for those who are indifferent, uncaring, slipshod, half-hearted, uncommitted. It's not a job for those who are not willing to share their lives with the sheep. And it's not a job for those who are seeking a monetary reward or status. So what is the role of an elder? What's the job of an elder? Well, the picture we have given by Peter here is, first of all, of Jesus. He's there as the good shepherd, and here as the chief shepherd in verse 4. And his commitment to the flock is indisputable, to that flock that's called God's flock in verse 2, because, as we read in John 10, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But in Acts 20 and verse 28, the flock of God which he purchased by his own blood. So there's no doubt about Jesus' commitment to the flock, and therefore he is not going to give the care of his flock to just anyone. And he's very specific about a role that he's created in the church to care for his flock. He's not just going to let anyone do it. The role of the elder is a very specific role to care for the flock. The elder is, first of all, as the various passages in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1 and here teach a man. He's a man who's not chosen himself, he's not self-appointed, but he is chosen by God, first of all, by the Holy Spirit. Acts 20:28 speaks of the elders as those whom the Holy Spirit has made overseers. In the New Testament times, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles as they planted churches to appoint elders. So God's choice of elders was shown through the apostles appointing elders in every church. That's Acts 14 and verse 23. Every church, they appointed elders. Now the elder, someone chosen by God to look after the flock that that Jesus died for, has a very important role. He can't just do as he pleases. He is going to be under the direction of the chief shepherd, as verse 4 calls Jesus, through the apostles. Now the way that works is, we're reading today from 1 Peter 5, the apostle Peter is writing to elders, and he's writing to elders today. He's writing to DJ and to Murdo and to myself here, to any of you who may become elders in the future, to all of us as we think about this role of elder. And he is telling us, Jesus is telling us through his apostles, through Peter here, what eldership is about. He's not leaving it to chance. So an elder is someone who's directed by Jesus in his role, directed through Jesus' apostles, through the New Testament apostolic writings in his role. And the flock are sheep. That's the picture. The flock, God's flock, are sheep. Sheep need shepherds. And every church needs elders. In our system, in the Free Church, if a congregation like Glenelg doesn't have elders from its own number, we appoint elders from other congregations to look after them. They're called assessor elders. And the provision of elders in congregations is something that congregations should always be praying about. And it's very important because it's all about leadership. And congregations that don't have good leadership suffer and scatter. So it's something, obviously, that you and I should be praying about just now. Like I said, our congregation has experienced great challenges to our leadership in this past year. Each one of the elders has experienced difficult attacks, or indeed our senior elder has been taken from us. And so this is something for us to pray about. Although thinking of Alistair, verse 4 gives us wonderful comfort, doesn't it? When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the flock needs shepherds, and we need to pray about this. Please do, because the elders just now are discussing augmenting their number. And we really do need God to raise up people suitable to give leadership in the congregation and to equip those who are suitable to take that role. So the flock needs shepherds because the role of the shepherd is, and just look at the words that Peter uses in verse 2 and verse 3, the role of the shepherd is to shepherd, to care, again verse 2, and to serve, the end of verse 2, to be an example, that's in verse 3. So caring, serving, and being an example. In other words, the elder is clearly not someone who sets himself up over the flock as someone who can just bully them about. The elder is there to serve the needs of the flock, to care for them. The elder is there as a shepherd, and the shepherd picture is very appropriate. The elder is there as an example, and his character is very important too. It's good then for us as a flock to have leaders who can do that for us, isn't it? We want in our church to be cared for, to be shepherded, and to know the service of those who are great examples to us. That's what eldership's about. A few weeks ago in Glenelg, when we set apart Ken MacDonald to his work as pastoral worker there, I read to the congregation from Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 16. Now this passage is about what a shepherd shouldn't do. And God says that he's going to raise up over Israel a shepherd who will not care for the lost. He will not care for the lost. He will not seek the young. He will not heal the injured. And he will not feed the healthy. So I said to the congregation in Glenelg, well, obviously that means that a good shepherd does the opposite of that. A good shepherd cares for the lost. A good shepherd seeks the young. A good shepherd heals the injured. And a good shepherd feeds the healthy. That is the role of an elder. That's what an elder should be doing in our midst and in congregations throughout the world. So it's something very much to pray about, that God will provide continually for you leaders, elders, overseers who will care for the lost, who will seek the young, who will heal the injured, and who will feed the healthy. Now it is a special calling, being a shepherd. Now I admit that I don't really get shepherding when people are doing it as a hobby. Now, shepherding is obviously a way of making an income if you've got a big enough flock, but there are many people around here who shepherd not because they need the income, as far as I can see, but they do it because they actually enjoy it. I'm at a loss to understand that myself, because why would you want to look after sheep? Sheep are dumb. Sure, those shepherds here might tell me otherwise. Sheep are awkward. They're smelly. And they're messy. They don't make great company. And they often make great demands. And yet people do it. People shepherd these sheep. These smelly animals. They do it. You've got to be the right kind of person, haven't you? And you could say the same about eldership. Why would anyone want to be an elder? I mean, you're looking after people, a flock of sheep, people with problems, people with disagreements, people with emotional demands, people who have inconvenient crises in their lives, people who backslide, people who sin, people who are discontent and grumble. Why would anyone want to be an elder? And yet there are people who set their hearts on that job. Just as there are people who love shepherding. And they find a love for sheep in their hearts. I don't possess that for the four-legged variety of sheep. But I do possess it for the two-legged variety. An elder should. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. So if you set your heart on that, you must have a love for the sheep, even though they may be wayward, even though they may be messy. It's a special calling to be an elder. Let me ask then, what motivates elders? This is a final question. What motivates elders? Peter tells us here three things that should not motivate elders. Don't become an elder if you are, first of all, verse 2, forced into it. Verse 2, serving as overseers not because you must, but because you're willing. Don't do it because you feel forced into it. Don't do it, as verse 2 goes on to say, because you want to make money out of it. Not greedy for money, verse 2 says. If you care about money, you won't care for the sheep. Most of the ministers I know who are paid could have been paid an awful lot more if they'd followed the careers that they'd chosen for themselves before God called them into eldership full time. Because they didn't do it for the money. They did it for love of the sheep. And that's a great comfort. As I look around at my colleagues, I see men who love the sheep. So eldership's not a way to make money, and it's not, thirdly, a way to exert power. Verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you. If you desire power through eldership, you will abuse the sheep. So what should motivate an elder? Well, I asked a minute ago, who would do the job when the sheep are so messy and awkward? But I could have focused on the positives, couldn't I? Maybe you're thinking, hi, Roddy, that's a pretty negative picture to paint of the sheep. Of course, the sheep that the elder looks after are people who may become, for the elder, dear brothers and sisters, may become dear friends, precious fellow workers, who may experience their fellow sheep as supportive and encouraging and inspiring, who may be eager for good leadership and for good teaching. They may be a joy to shepherd. And notice there a minute ago I slipped in that the shepherd is also in a sense a sheep too, because even the elder is still a sheep prone to wander. That's a little sort of double meaning or double sense. But for the elder, the rest of the sheep may be a joy to shepherd. Eldership can be very rewarding, very rewarding. So what should our motivations be? Well, let me just finish with four motivations. Number one is in verse 2, because you're willing to do it. You've got a sense that God's calling you to it. Verse 2 says, not because you must, but because you're willing as God wants you to be. So if you've got a sense of God's calling, willingness, that's a good motivation. Another motivation following on at the end of verse 2 is to serve. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. To be an elder, you must find delight in giving yourself to others. That's essential. If you're absorbed in yourself, you won't make a good elder. Your motivation must be that you love to serve people. The third thing is, you want to share what God has given you. The word that Peter uses in verse 3 is that you're an example to the flock, an example. So if you yourself are a man of truth and character and integrity and life and freedom in the gospel, someone who really relishes the gospel and lives it out in your life, then you'll want others to share that. So you will model that to others. You will be a model, an example to the rest of the flock. So if you have a desire to share what God has given you, the way he's lifted up your character and your integrity and given you freedom and given you life, that's a good motivation for eldership as well. But the final motivation that Peter mentions here is the prospect of heaven. Peter himself is looking forward to when his work, his very, very demanding work, is over. As verse 1 says, he says, I am a fellow elder and I will also share in the glory to be revealed. Now, you know, we've studied 1 Peter and he says a lot about glory in this letter. Not every Christian, though, as we saw last week, is excited about glory, is excited about heaven. That's a tremendously sad thing when Christians are just so content and think life is just fine as it is now. They've got no aspiration for what God has prepared for those who love Him. If you've got a real desire for heaven, then that's another motivation for eldership. If you don't have a desire for the glory to be revealed, maybe it's not something you should think about, eldership. But put it this way. If you can see that dealing with all the challenges and the difficulties and the disappointments that the sheep will present to you, if you can see that that's like nothing compared to the glory, that's a good thing for an elder. If you can see that whatever inconvenience, whatever shame you may have to carry as an under-shepherd of Jesus isn't worth comparing to the joy of bringing others to share in the glory, then eldership is a good thing to think about if God is calling you to it. You will appreciate eldership if you're excited about heaven, and that will help you to overcome the difficulties of shepherding, and it will help you and motivate you to share the gospel with other people. Because, as verse 4 says, when the chief shepherd appears, elders, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So there is joy at the end of eldership. And of course, the promise in verse 4 is a promise that is for every Christian. We should just thank God for elders whom we have known and whom we know, and whom God will raise up in the future as well, who are willing to serve the flock, however challenging or sometimes discouraging that may be at times. The future is bright for elders, and it is bright for all those who receive Jesus through the teaching and the service of elders. Because the future for those who are Christians is a future of receiving the crown of glory. And Peter has said much about that in his letter. And so for us, the final motivation in eldership is a motivation that belongs to every Christian, or that should belong. We are looking forward to when we rest from our labours, and when we are with Jesus in his glory, when the chief shepherd, the chief elder appears, Jesus Christ, when he appears and we receive from him the reward for our labours. That's a great picture, something to be truly excited about for every elder and for every Christian. So please do pray about eldership. It's a very important topic, and it's one that's particularly important for our own congregation and also for our friends up in Glenelg and Viridian too, that God will give us good leadership as we go forward into the future as a flock of God's people. Amen.